Right, we can take a little break if you want. And I think just chat a little bit. There was a request for some profound teachings. However, I think Rinpoche's teachings have got many, many profound teachings, and there's plenty to practice. So I'll just mention a few things. Some things are very important and some things are worth repeating. I think it's important to repeat. And if within there might be something that might be profound, then good and well. So I think I thought maybe what I talk a little bit about today is we focus a lot on meditation. We focus a lot on compassion, love and kindness, bodhicitta. And many of us are aiming at the true nature of mind. And Rinpoche talks a lot about the true nature of mind. He really teaches very, very directly. And this is also the style of His Holiness Lama Achuk Rinpoche. Their teachings, and if you listen to Asong Rinpoche as well, I've had the fortune to listen to one or two teachings. His teachings are just also like Lama Achuk Rinpoche, also very, very direct. So in all of this is because, of course, Rinpoche is, incredibly great teacher and incredibly high realizer, as was His Holiness Lama Achuk Rinpoche. But it's also good for us not to forget some of the basics. So some of the basics is that with Westerners, generally, we like to start with people are interested in meditation. People really like compassion and wisdom and love. And this is very, very important. However, that initial renunciation, that discipline and diligence is also very, very important. So if we concentrate and really establish a very good foundation in the discipline and diligence and reducing our afflictive emotions, then the practice of love and kindness and compassion, the practice of bodhicitta becomes much, much easier. And if we establish very well our foundation in bodhicitta, then the realization of the true nature of mind comes much, much easier, if not naturally. So just taking steps back, that's why so often we'll talk about afflictive emotions. And why is this so important? So one, yes, it is to liberate them. But the other is not to harm others. This is one of the great things about Buddhism. It's really a practice of peace. And if you're practicing just Hinayana Buddhism already, most important, don't harm others. If you're practicing Mahayana Buddhism, most important is that you include bodhicitta. So this is one aspect. Another aspect as well is that when we are not being mindful and aware and we still are engaging in what we call negative emotions, these emotions, we use anger as an example so often, however, our jealousy and our arrogance, what happens is it agitates our mind. So when we have these thoughts, if you just think about yourself, when you're angry about something or you're upset about something or you're disappointed about something, your mind is agitated. And when your mind is agitated, it's very difficult for your mind to calm down and to actually have that space to practice compassion and wisdom. And even just to be able to practice your meditation sometimes is difficult. You want to meditate, but your mind goes back to that situation. Or if you're jealous and you're competing with somebody, you're comparing to somebody again, your mind goes back to that and back to that. So when you're a very good practitioner, this is great for practice. But the thing is, when you're a great practitioner, all of those great practice opportunities are less and less because they don't really arise so much. But when our awareness and strength in awareness isn't so good, then this actually often disrupts our practice. Although it is a good opportunity to practice, it's still very difficult for us to just be able to take that emotion and liberate it. So it agitates our mind. And then over and above that is number one, the biggest problem is this attachment. So there's attachment to material things. Most important is this self-attachment. If we look at also the external material attachments, what happens is it consumes our mind. So we think, oh yes, we're so happy. We're chasing after these desires, these material concerns. But what's actually happening, it also excites our mind and it also absorbs our attention towards those things. So one is it's taking our awareness, our attention away from practice actually. And the second thing is when things get in the way of what we desire and what we want, then the jealousy arises or the anger arises or the arrogance arises. I've achieved this. I'm quite important. And this disrupts our mind again. So for this purpose, that basic, that foundation of renunciation is very, very important. And then from there, we also have love and kindness and compassion. And this is really great. I mean, it's really such a wonderful practice. If we can, is to keep our mind as vast as possible. What do we mean by vast? Is to really start establishing the idea in our mind that all sentient beings have been our mothers. And all of them have benefited us. And to then look as well, and then the first step also comes in because we start to see that all of the people we know, or so many of the people that we know that have been our mothers, they want to be happy. They're really endeavoring to be happy. They're really working hard to be happy. But they just aren't doing it the right way. They want to be happy, but they don't understand cause and effect, or they don't respect cause and effect. So in all of their endeavors, and really some people are very conscientious in their endeavors, they work 12 hours, 14 hours, they engage in getting things for 14 hours, they work so hard, but the end result is not truly going to bring them what they want. They think this is what they want, but it actually brings them suffering in the end. So in this way, we can bring about great compassion when we see somebody, when somebody's annoying us, slowly through our practice, instead of thinking this person is annoying me, and then starting to develop, we can improve by saying, oh, it's an opportunity to practice, but we can also change it and think, this person is very unhappy. They don't realize that these emotions of theirs are making them unhappy. So what can bring up is a very profound or a very deep sense of compassion and kindness towards others. So this is very important. And as the great masters say, is that once you really understand, once you really bring about the sense of compassion and kindness, then much more easily your state of the true nature of mind is started to become realized. It becomes much, much easier. And at the same time, you are generating a lot of very good merit. Other people feel happier, and it's great merit for yourself. So I think it's very important also not to confuse compassion with self-compassion. Self-compassion with self-preservation. Where this comes from is recently a friend of mine gave me a call, and they were pretty unhappy. And they'd been to a course where the course had spoken about self-compassion. And I'm sure the course was correct. I'm sure what they taught was correct. But however, my friend misunderstood self-compassion for self-preservation. So they got involved in the whole big legal battle with a big company, and they have every right to pursue this. But what happened is this whole court case became their whole life. And in that, they really got into a mode of self-preservation. So I said, really, you must distinguish between this, because what they were doing is they think I must look after myself, self-compassion. It is very good to look after yourself, but to understand how to look after yourself properly and to preserve yourself, to close yourself off, to fight off everything else, actually closes you off to compassion. So you might think it's important to protect yourself, but in this case, this friend of mine is actually practicing more and more attachment and self-preservation rather than self-compassion. Self-compassion is actually, if you really want to treat yourself well, is to really treat other people well, is to really realize the benefit of compassion towards others, not to just close yourself and protect yourself. And through this, you can really see how this attachment and this, actually it comes to negative thinking, has affected this person's health, you know, their whole energy has gone down to 20%. They're not functioning properly. They're not functioning happily. So again, have self-compassion, but remember that self-compassion means doing things that actually bring about love and kindness and compassion. If you want to treat yourself well, really know what brings about happiness and what brings about suffering. So I thought I would just mention this. And then again, sometimes I think Rinpoche has been emphasizing this in the teachings recently in the Atisha. He says, you know, we are pursuing so often, we are pursuing the state of mind, the true nature of mind. We're pursuing clarity. We're pursuing equanimity. But sometimes we're forgetting the bodhicitta aspect of it. We're forgetting the love and kindness aspect of it. And Rinpoche actually asks some of the students, he mentions it in one of the teachings, he says, the students come for the pith instructions. He says, have you got compassion? Have you got bodhicitta in your practice? Have you got renunciation in your practice? And if they say no, then he says, well, you're missing an essential part of your practice. And I can say for myself as well, I've been to see Rinpoche. I've traveled a long way and get to see him and eventually, and then I say, Rinpoche, this and this, and this is my practice. And he said to me straight, he said, how much bodhicitta you got in your practice? And I said to him, well, actually not so much. And he said, well, then your practice has got a problem. You've got things to sort out. And that's all he said to me. And that was the end. But that was because this is really so, so important. So in your practice as well, the important thing today, I think, is remember, when we're practicing the Vajrasattva, Vajrayana, we're practicing the five excellences. But also remember bodhicitta. Bodhicitta is very, very important. So I thought that's just what I wanted to add today. Don't forget the foundations. Don't forget the discipline, the diligence, and these afflictive emotions. Don't think, oh, it's just okay to just engage in it one more time. Because all you're doing is you're agitating your mind. When you agitate your mind, you actually are affecting your own practice. The second is so important is that bodhicitta. If we really try and establish those, really establish love and kindness and compassion in your mind stream, it's very important. I heard another teacher saying as well the other day, he says, you know, also, so many students are pursuing true nature of mind. Don't forget love and kindness and compassion. It is so, so important. All right, so let's carry on and